The Ticket.
Podcasts are brought to you in part by Lewis Jewelers, the official jeweler of The Ticket and proud partner of Michigan Athletics.
5, 4, 3.
And we are back, folks, here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA, online at WTKA.com. Sam Webb, Mr. Ira Weintraub on the other side, and slowly but surely trying to get my voice back. I wonder if our next guest, who was at the game,
he was and in the stands, the cheering.
In the stands.
Yeah, Sam, your law's voice, people need to realize, your law's voice is all post-game. It's all post-game. Sam's virtually quiet, talking in hushed tones during the game. His law's voice is all from 3:30 on Saturday.
Although I did grip the necks of Ira Weintraub and Steve Clark on a couple of occasions.
That is true, but those are silent. Those are still quiet. We has a couple fist bumps below the table, but it's quiet. Mike knows the rules.
But this guy, I mean, to be in the stands for this game, that's what this is going to be about, at least to start. Mike Spath, first of all, good morning, bro. How are you?
Hey, great, Sam and Ira. And, you know, thinking about it, I mean, I used to sit right next to Ira. Sam was on the other side. Steve Clark was on the other side of Sam. And so I certainly, you know, even though we're supposed to be, you know, quiet and the whole thing, we would definitely have those fist bumps underneath the table and kind of like those looks of like, oh, this is really cool. Well, that would have been great. I would have loved to have been up in the press box on Saturday, but I had a far better experience because I was a part of the crowd. Went to the game with my younger brother and his wife and one of his friends, and experienced that game with my sibling who, like me, you know, was raised by a Michigan dad and a Michigan mom, and like me, went to the University of Michigan and, you know, bleed all things maize and blue, and has just been living this program for 38 of his years on this planet, 41 of mine. I've been to so many great Michigan games. I was at the national championship in 1998, Penn State 2005, Michigan State 2004, 2011 Notre Dame under the lights. I mean, I've been to so many great ones. I don't think that the atmosphere that I experienced on Saturday, I've never experienced it at Michigan Stadium like that. The only thing that I would say, an event that comes close, is the national championship in 1998. Different circumstances and the whole thing. But that was one of the more incredible experiences I've ever had in my life on Saturday.
I wondered, and to get that perspective, man, because, look, it's a little hard to gauge. But as far as atmospheres are concerned, Under the Lights was unbelievable. This felt even on another level from that. And as best you can sort of quantify an experience, right? It's a very subjective thing. But was this the best Michigan atmosphere you'd ever seen? Like Joel Klatt, whose analysis I'm, you know, sort of lukewarm on. But he's been to a lot of games. Mike, he's been all over the country. And he said that was the best experience, the best. Matt Leiner said the same thing. The best game day environment he's ever seen. These are national guys, and I'm curious how it ranks as far as your sort of game day experiences go.
Well, I'll tell you what. Look, the 2011 Michigan-Notre Dame game was the first game under the lights, and there was an energy and excitement about night game at the Big House. And then the way that the game finished, there was a party atmosphere for the final, whatever it was, 5 minutes, 10 minutes. And then after the game ended, people just stuck around. Now, I was in the press box and in the part of the media at the time, but I, you know, talked to my brother, talked to friends, and they were just like, yeah, we just sat there and sang and danced for 20 or 30 minutes. I have been part of great comebacks like the Michigan State 2004 game, where again the energy was off the charts, but it was at the end of the game. What was different about Saturday was that when we pulled into Ann Arbor we got there at like 8:30 in the morning. When we pulled into Ann Arbor, you know, for a game that honestly I think most Michigan fans, including myself, expected to lose, there was a buzz, just this electricity in the city, in the town. When I went to tailgates, like everybody was, there was this excitement about like, you know what, we think we can do it. We think that like it's possible. Like people were hyped before the game. Being in the line just to get into the stadium, like, there was just this energy. And then once you walked in, so that's where I would agree with Joel Klatt and Matt Leinart, is the atmosphere around the stadium pregame, and then getting inside the bowl, it never stopped. The energy, there was no, like, I don't think I sat down. Now, we were sitting up in, like, row 85 or something like that, but we never sat down except for halftime. It's the only time we sat down during the entire game, and we're not in the student section. And that was, our entire section was standing. They were foaming at the mouth. And what happened in this game on Saturday that really contributed to it was Michigan got the lead, and they, you know, they fell behind the one time, right? But they immediately got the lead back. So they were constantly scoring and in the lead. When you had that, there was this consistent reason to cheer and to stay engaged, because Michigan was doing what you didn't think was possible. And it was, so yeah, from moments, you know, kickoff to moment 0-0-0 on that clock, and even beyond that, because obviously everybody stormed the field. I don't have another experience at a Michigan football game, at any football game, any college football game, and I've been to other ones outside of Michigan's, you know, outside of watching Michigan. I don't think I've ever experienced anything like that. I said to, you know, I went to the 2013 Final Four when John Beilein took the team there for the first time in, you know, whatever it was, 15, 20, 20 years. And the only thing I could compare it to is that was that type of electricity that existed that entire weekend in Atlanta. But this was incredible. This was something that I will. I got home and I saw John and I gave him a big hug. And when he's, you know, hopefully he gets to experience this in 5 to 8 years. But certainly I'll be able to tell him all about this, and to share it with my brother was remarkable. You're right. I mean, it was the best atmosphere I have ever been a part with at a college football game.
Yeah, I sort of told. I mean, yeah. You looked at it, the snow. I mean, it's November weather in the Big Ten, two teams, and all that was on the line is Michigan, Ohio State. It was everything that
it's
went
into
it.
It's the biggest game at Michigan Stadium in our lifetime, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
And to see them win it, Mike. So now let's get to the game, because there were so many people who gave Michigan, so many Michigan fans, who gave them no chance. I've been talking, I certainly was talking all week about, man, this is the style that gives Michigan, at least this year, this is the style that gives Michigan a real chance of beating Ohio State. And thought, if you listen to our pregame, said they're gonna beat Ohio State. And Mike, exactly as we laid it out, now I didn't think they would beat them down like that. I didn't think they would rush for 200 yards, but the formula that they have been working on perfecting all season, man, they unleashed it on the Buckeyes, and it was something special to see.
It really was, and I tell you what, you know, I don't think – I talked to my class driving to school, driving to U of M right now. One of the things I don't think we do well in this country is we admit when we're wrong. I was wrong. I was 100% wrong. I watched that Washington game. I listened to you guys on Monday. I watched that Washington game earlier in the season when they threw the ball, I think, like two or three times the entire second half. And I just said, damn, he just doesn't get it. He just doesn't get it. This is not college football in 2021. You do not run the football down somebody's throat and think that you're going to win big games that way. And as the season unfolded and they, you know, they added some more elements to the passing game, but it still looked like they were going to go, hey, Stanford 2010, we're just going to – a smash mouth football, and I was not a believer. 100% was not a believer. I thought, Jim Harbaugh, you're living in the past. This is not going to work. You're gonna end up in a game similar, not quite as bad as Michigan State, but you're gonna end up in a game where they're a quick strike offense and they're just piling up points, and you're trying to run and you're not getting anything, and that's gonna be that. And I was dead wrong, because what they built all season long was building up to this point, was building up to being able to execute at the highest level. You know, I love Hassan Haskins. Clearly on this show, I've talked so much about Hassan Haskins. You know, that was a Tumunga Biakabatuka performance. And I'll tell you why. And he didn't get 313 yards, although the team got pretty close to 313 yards. But Tumunga Biakabatuka, I went back and studied that game quite a few years ago, and I wrote a big feature about Tumunga and interviewed him. And if I remember correctly, he has something like 31 carries. And out of the 31 carries, I think 28 of them gained more than 5 yards. And it was one of the more remarkable things I've ever seen in my life, because normally in a game, when you average like 6 yards per carry, it's because you have a couple like 40 or 50 yard runs, and then you have like some 1 and 2 yard runs. He had no negative yard runs. Tumunga didn't. And he had no, like, he had, I think it was 2 runs that were less than 5 yards in that game. Which it means that every time he got the ball, he was getting 5, 6, 7, 8 yards. And that to me is remarkable. And what we saw on Saturday, other than when he was running a 2 yard touchdown, was every time Hassan Haskins got the ball, it was 6 yards, it was 8 yards, it was 12 yards. It was so incredibly consistent. And that's why he finished with such a great yards per carry. And that's, I mean, they did exactly what they were trying to do all season long. Remarkable. I give my hat off to these coaches, to Jim Harbaugh, for proving me wrong, but just for having a great strategy that he stuck to all year, and that he put in all the pieces together. He hit all the right notes. I thought Josh Gattis, who has been someone who's come under a lot of fire, I've been critical of him. He called the game of his life. I mean, to open up the game and have that kind of like that Statue of Liberty play a little bit in the reverse, you know, to A.J. Henning to score the touchdown. I thought some of the other ways that they used J.J. McCarthy, which credit to you, Sam, because you and I have been talking about J.J. McCarthy all year long and how to use this guy. And to see Cade McNamara clapping and fist pumping when J.J. threw that, 30-yard pass to Roman Wilson, just speaks volumes about what this team is. This is, do you know how hard it is today in college football? And we can talk about what coaches are doing right now to get 125 young men, an entire coaching staff, to commit to selflessness and the team. It doesn't happen. It's so rare. And I don't even know that it happens at a place like Alabama as much as like they're just so used to winning that, you know, you don't hear about some of the internal stuff. But he got every single guy on this team to commit to being a team. And that is why they are playing for the Big Ten Championship on Saturday. And as a Michigan fan, I am beyond ecstatic. I am beyond proud. I am honored that this is this team, and this is, you know, the team that I get to cheer for and root for, and that this coaching staff is doing what it's doing on the field and off the field.
Yeah, we're talking to Mike Spath this morning here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA, online at WTK.com. So, Mike, Aiden Hutchinson, you know, he comes into the game already established as one of the best to ever do it on a defensive line at the University of Michigan. He left that game the all-time sack leader and a dominant performance. What, 15 pressures, I think they said. I mean, you saw in the fourth quarter, he destroys the left tackle for Ohio State. And told him he was going to do it. Like, if you look at we went back and watched the coach's copy. Mike, he's talking to the Ohio State offensive line, telling them, come my way. Then he blows the offensive lineman up and gets into the backfield for a pressure. It was an unbelievable performance on the biggest stage.
You know, it's funny. I have a couple of friends, people got to know, former football players. I won't say which one, but played offensive line in the early 2000s and started quite a few games. And I said, hey, have you ever got pancaked like that? And he wrote back and said, no, but I never had to go against Aiden Hutchinson, which I thought was a great compliment. And we were talking about it. And, you know, he made a couple of comments to me. And he said, one of the things that really blows him away about Aiden Hutchinson is his ability to read and recognize a play. Because if you watch him, you know, there's a lot of guys, Chase Young, the most recent one from Ohio State, who's drawn a lot of comparisons to, was just named the Defensive Player of the Year yesterday and the Defensive Lineman of the Year in the Big Ten, Hutchinson was. And Chase Young was a pin the ears back and go. You know, this is what a lot of pass rushers are, is their responsibility is to get into the offensive backfield, regardless of what that means for the running game. Just get in there. And Aiden Hutchinson does that, and at the same time can read and recognize when it's a running play with just some real subtle nuances that he observes in offensive linemen at the snap, that he observes in the way that they're lined up at the snap. And so he never takes himself out of position, and he makes a lot of plays in the running game and impacts a lot of plays in the running game beyond just getting after the quarterback. But getting after the quarterback, you know, to me, Lamar Woodley, Brandon Graham, are the two best that I've ever seen. Sean Crable as a stand-up linebacker in 2007 was also in that way. Aiden Hutchinson, whether it's a power move blowing right through that guy, a swim move, a speed rush, you know, the spin in coming to the inside, you know, he has got it all. And I think because he did it against Ohio State and because they beat Ohio State and now they're going on, if they win this game on Saturday, I honestly think that you have a hard time saying that he is not the best defensive end in school history. And that is incredibly high praise. You know, Mark Messner right now, you know, kind of played both DN and D tackle and more of a 3-4. You know, like I said, Brandon Graham, Lamar Woodley, those are the ones that really pop out to me. Curtis Greer way back, again, more of a D tackle and a 3-4. But he's going to be able to say that. And you know, maybe we'll be able to – we'll debate it. And, oh, you know, my guy from my era, kind of like the Braylon versus Anthony Carter versus – you know, David Terrell, whatever, you know, Desmond Howard, best wide receiver, but it's going to be something we talk about. Simply outstanding performance from Hutchinson. You know, you guys heard me say this. I love Red Berenson. Red Berenson used to always tell me, in the biggest games, your best players have to be their best. He's like, you're not going to win. You're not going to go to the playoffs. You're not going to go into a tournament. You're not going to win the Big Ten championship unless your best players play their best. And across the board, Hutchinson, Ojabo, Josh Ross, Dax Hill, DJ Turner, Hassan Haskins, Cade McNamara. I mean, on and on and on. The best players for Michigan played their best games, and that's why they beat Ohio State on Saturday.
All right, Mike, so you talked about Aiden having the credentials, the resume, to be regarded as, to be considered the best defensive lineman in school history. I agree with that. I mean, the proof – he has the stats. He did it in the big games. He did it in the Michigan State game, even though they took it away from him. I mean, it's just, it go on and on and on. What about the Heisman Trophy, Mike? Now, we know it's an award typically for an offensive player, right? But can the second time a defensive player wins it, can it be another Michigan guy? I mean, look around college football and tell me, especially if Aiden Hutchinson goes out and dominates the Big Ten championship game too.
Yeah.
Tell me who's been a better player in college football than Aiden Hutchinson?
No, I don't think anybody has. I mean, Will Anderson from Alabama, you know, the numbers that he has put up, I think he's got 14 and a half sacks on the year and 29 tackles for a loss, which is rather remarkable also. You know, Jordan Davis from Georgia, defensive tackle, is getting a lot of love. His stats aren't, you know, I've only seen two Georgia games all year. Certainly looks like a great player, but doesn't have the numbers. I mean, let's face it, this is an accolade, a numbers award. And it usually goes to the best quarterback for the best team, or it goes to sometimes the best running back of the best team. I think the shine is off Kenneth Walker. The shine is certainly off of Bryce Young from Alabama, though he led them on that, you know, massive comeback against Auburn. I'd say what, if they don't come back against Auburn, I think Bryce Young's out of the conversation completely. And C.J. Stroud, you know, 3 for 394 and 2 touchdowns, but his team lost, and he wasn't the biggest playmaker on the field. Aiden Hutchinson was. I think he can make a really strong case for it. I think if he goes out and puts up, you know, two more sacks and a couple of tackles for loss in this game against Iowa, and everybody's watching because the other 8 o'clock game on Saturday is the most boring, you know, what, there's no ramifications for Wake Forest versus Pitt. Whoever wins that game coming on the ACC does nothing. I mean, like, they go to near six bowl, but they ain't going to be in the playoff conversation. So all eyes will be Georgia-Alabama at 3:30 and then turning over to watch Michigan-Iowa at 8 o'clock. And so a lot of voters are going to get a chance to see him and watch what he can do. A lot of voters saw what he could do on Saturday against Ohio State. What, do they have 16 million people or something ridiculous that end up watching that game on Saturday? I mean, so he had a huge opportunity, and he delivered on it. I just think there's so much prejudice against defensive players that I wouldn't be surprised if he gets invited. I would be shocked if he wins it, just because it's a quarterback's award. You know, to me, it's unfortunate because what are you really recognizing? If you're going to claim it's the best player in college football, then name the best player in college football. You know, it's not the Maxwell Award, right? Isn't that the quarterback award, or maybe that's also best player. There's a Johnny Unitas. There's a quarterback-specific award. Yeah, give him
the quarterback award.
Okay, thank you, Dave O'Brien. Yeah, give the quarterback award and give the best player in college football the Heisman Trophy. You know, I think this is the one time where they let everybody kind of vote. Like, they let everybody, you know, but they have a select group. People in the media, former players get a vote. I think this is probably something they should probably narrow it down, kind of like the playoff committee, and have like a group of 25 or 30 people that are trying to watch a lot of games and determine it. Because when you get the media involved, you guys know as well as I do, if you look at like the numbers, like everybody votes regionally, you know? So like the people in the South are going to vote for Bryce Young, and the people in the Midwest are going to vote for Hutch and Stroud, and the people, you know, in other places are going to vote for whoever's in their area. And so it's really not necessarily the best player in college football year after year. If it was, I'm right there with you. Aiden Hutchinson should win it.
Yeah, we're talking to Mike Spath. A few minutes more here on the Michigan Insider Sports Talk 1050 WTKA online at WTK.com. You already talked a lot about the coaches. So I want to move on and talk about this matchup with Iowa. Mike, you've been around Michigan a long time. I mean, there are years where you're like, Michigan has no business being in a game with or losing to Iowa. You think of 97, the game that Iowa gave them. You think of 2016, the game that Iowa beat them in. Now, I'm not saying that this Iowa team is as good as either of those, but it is a reminder of how this team, this program, has been a thorn in Michigan's side in the past, and how if you are looking ahead to an opponent, I'm not saying that they were necessarily looking ahead to Ohio State back in 16, but you just can never overlook an opponent, especially when it's the Iowa Hawkeyes.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those teams that is just always so fundamentally sound. And, you know, Jim Harbaugh a week ago, quoting, I think, Bo and Woody, was talking about how this game's going to come down to blocking and tackling. And I know a couple people are like, you know, just such an old school mentality. But what he was saying is like, hey, if we do the fundamentals right, and as they showed, like, we were able to block, they were able to tackle. There were very few missed tackles in that game. They had one turnover in the game. You know, you play the game fundamentally sound, and you're always going to be in it. And that's what Iowa, under Kirk Ferentz, has done an outstanding job of year after year after year. They don't beat themselves very often. This year's team, this Iowa team, now I think this is really remarkable, and this is why I think there's a lot of pundits trying to figure out. I mean, Iowa ranks third in the country in turnovers taken away, 28 on the year. In 12 games. I mean, that's incredible. 2.5 per game. You don't see that hardly anymore. And then on the flip side, Michigan is, I think, 6th in the country in turnovers lost with 9. And 2 of those are interceptions, one by J.J. McCarthy and one by Alan Bowman, you know, again, in mop-up time. So now you're really talking about 7 interceptions when the game is on the line, or 7 turnovers when the game is on the line. So, you know, Iowa's going to have to get some of those turnovers. Michigan, which hasn't turned the ball over all year, I mean, you got to like Michigan's chances a lot. I think the fact that it's, you know, not before Ohio State, certainly there could be a little bit of a hangover. I'm really curious to kind of get a feel, talk to some of my students today who played for the football team, see where their head's at. You know, hopefully if I say, like, hey, let's talk about that game on Saturday, all they say back to me is like, no, prof, we got to talk about the game in front of us. That's all we care about is the game in front of us. You know, because – yeah, I mean, the emotion from that one. I mean, you see it all the time in sports that play a little more, you know, that play a little more consistent, you know, closer together. Basketball has a big win. They play 3 days later. Sometimes they're still feeling it. You know, this Michigan hockey team has been a great hockey team this year, but they've gotten up to number one a couple of times, and then they've lost the following weekend because it's tough to deal with those heightened expectations and that euphoria. So, you know, the one thing I'll say is I think when you look at this team and the mentality that they've had, and when, you know, you go back to Cade McNamara after Nebraska and what he said after Penn State, and then again the other day, like, I think they're a locked-in, focused group. They understand what's in front of them. They're number 2 in the college football playoff rankings. If they win this game on Saturday, I don't see how they move anywhere. I mean, maybe they could go up if Georgia loses, but they're not going to go down. And so then they're playing in the college football playoff, and they're probably playing either Oklahoma State or Cincinnati with an amazing, amazing opportunity to win a semifinal game and go to the national championship down in Indianapolis. I I'm the jack wagon who predicted Michigan to go 6-6 to begin the year. You know, I'm to be where they are, I mean, you know, the only thing I got right on that thing was I predicted to go to lose to Michigan State, but everything else I was wrong about, and I'm happy to be so wrong about it. You know, I'm happy to be wrong about Jim Harbaugh. I'm happy to be wrong about Josh Gattis and Mike McDonald as a first-year defensive coordinator. And so where this team is, what they have in front of them, I don't think there will be a letdown. If anything, it'll come down to just those turnovers. If Iowa can figure out a way to bait Michigan into an interception or two, a fumble or two, like, they're going to be in this game. But if they don't get those turnovers and Michigan keeps it clean, I honestly expect Michigan to win this one going away. And for all of us to be celebrating Saturday night in similar fashion to the way that we were this past weekend. I don't know if anything, you know, will equal how I felt after that game on Saturday against the Buckeyes, but a Big Ten championship and a spot in the college football playoff would sure be sweet. I tell you that.
Go blue, baby.
Appreciate that, Jawad. Yeah, man, Michigan. So when you look around, how about this year? I mean, let's say Bama's in there. Mike, do you think Michigan can, again, they have to do Iowa first, but we aren't on the team. We can talk about it. Can Michigan, yeah. You think Michigan can beat Alabama? Do you look at Oklahoma State? You think Michigan can beat Oklahoma State? Think Michigan can beat Cincinnati? You think Michigan can beat Georgia? Do you look at any of those teams and say Michigan can't beat that team?
You know, it's interesting. I've only seen, of all those teams, I've seen Cincinnati quite a bit, a Midwest team. They're on TV a lot around here. So I think I've seen like five or six of their games. Just kind of keeping a curiosity on them because I've been rooting for a group of five to make the college football playoff. I certainly think Michigan can beat them. I watched them play against Notre Dame. I've seen a couple of their other games. You know, Oklahoma State, high-powered offense, but, you know, Ohio State was the most high-powered offense in the country, and Michigan shut them down. I mean, I'll say this. If Michigan can replicate the performance that they had against Ohio State, offense, defense, special teams, they can beat anybody in the country. They really can. I'm not afraid of Alabama this year. I don't think anybody's afraid of Alabama this year. They're a very vulnerable team. Georgia, I've only seen twice. I only saw them play Florida earlier in the year, and then I think I saw them maybe play LSU, someone else in the SEC East that was watching the game. So I haven't seen enough of them. You know, I know that they have a quarterback, I think it's Stetson, right, the former walk-on. They kind of took over for JT Daniels. I don't know. I mean, everybody kind of talks about Florida being invincible, but you're only invincible until you play somebody that can beat you. And I don't think there's any such thing as invincible college football teams. You know, we've thought a couple of times Clemson the last couple of years were invincible. They got beat. Alabama, you know, last year, really, really good. But we thought Ohio State was the best team, and Alabama beat them. I think you can beat anybody if you play that game that you played against Ohio State. And that's incredibly exciting as a Michigan fan. You know, I was talking to my brother, and we were talking about, like, whether we should go down to Indy this weekend and see a Big Ten championship. And he said, you know, I'm just going to bank on the fact that, like, this is the start. As Jim Harbaugh said, this is the beginning, and there's going to be other Big Ten opportunities. And I said, and also, let's save up our money. Let's return all of our Christmas gifts. We'll just bank the cash. And then I think there's a pretty decent chance that if they win this game and get a playoff, that they're in Indy for the national championship game. And then we'll blow everything we've got to go down to Indianapolis and watch them play for the national title.
Cannot beat it, Mike Spath. I mean, can you believe? And that's the other thing that I keep asking people. Think about what you thought about this team at the beginning of the season and whatever nervousness you have or doubts that might have, how you have them at this point, I don't know, or nervousness you might have. Just remember that what you thought about this team at the beginning and enjoy it. Enjoy this because, Mike, they could be playing for the national championship, man.
It's honestly, 97, I was a senior in high school, and for any Michigan fan is the pinnacle, right? I mean, they won a national championship. They went undefeated. It came out of the blue. They're coming off the four consecutive four-loss seasons. You know that they have Charles Woodson, but you didn't know that they were going to be like that. And so it was a little more remarkable. You were just able to enjoy every second of it. I think when there's low expectations and then something like this happens, you can savor it more than you could if you went into the season expecting them to go 12-1, because then you're call. Now, that's not to say that I wasn't dying with close calls this year like Penn State and Nebraska, but I'm certainly savoring it right now. 2006 Detroit Tigers World Series run, 2013 Final Four for basketball, last year for basketball, winning the Big Ten title, the whole thing. You really do enjoy it. I've enjoyed this season immensely. I've loved being a fan. I've loved being able to, you know, have that with my son a little bit. Don't let him watch too much of the games. I got home on Saturday night. He was dressed all in Michigan gear. My wife had taken down the Michigan State flag and put up the Michigan flag alone. She taught him essentially to say Buckeyes yuck, but he actually said Buckeyes suck. So that was pretty awesome to hear my little two-year-old. No, we're not trying to teach him to say the word suck yet, but it was really funny and got a great kick out of that. And all week, if I say Buckeyes, I just go, you know, John, Buckeyes. And he says, Buckeyes, yuck. And he says, go blue. So it's incredible. It's incredible.
Hey, man. Well, look, man, I'm happy that you – hey, did you rush the field, Mike?
So this is a great story. So I'm coming down, and my sister-in-law yells like go go go, and I think it's because she wants to go home to get the babysitter. Got to get to the babysitter. So I go down and I like get to the tunnel, and I turn around. I'm like going to give my brother a hug, and he's like not there. I'm like, where the hell did my brother go? And I'm thinking like, he's probably trying to go to the bathroom. So I go to where the bathroom is, and he's not coming out. So finally, I'm like, where did they go? I'm like, the only thing I think of is that they rushed the field, and they just didn't tell me that they were going to rush the field. So I went down there, got a little bit close, didn't quite get on the football field myself, but was, I think I was in row 3, and just kind of watched it. Got a great picture from down there that I was able to, you know, to kind of show off on social media a little bit. But no, I'm totally annoyed with them. Like, no one gave me the plan. Like, nobody told me what was happening. And so I would have loved to, because they have some great pictures. My brother's sitting on the 50-yard line with doing a little hail, and they've got a couple of pictures else on the right there. But, no, I made it down to the third row and certainly took the pictures and enjoyed it, and then got back for, like, the longest car ride of our lives. It took us 2.5 hours to go 45 minutes because of the snow and accidents. But, you know, hopefully no one was hurt. And that was a great post game. We threw the WTKA app on. We listened to Ira. Were you at Jim Brady's? Is that where you guys were?
Yeah, we had a great time.
Yeah, I listened to you for like an hour of it as we were getting home, and just soaked it all up and still soaking it up. Here we are. What is this, 5 days later, 4 days later, something like that? And the smile on my face. I mean, you know, I lost a client the other day, and it was like, oh, okay, no big deal, don't worry about it. He's like, no big deal. He's like, you're okay? Like, we're going to pick somebody else. I'm like, yeah, I don't care. Don't worry about it. It's great. And they're like, okay. And I'm like, I mean, you just couldn't, you know, you couldn't do anything to take that smile off my face. So life is good. Life is good, no doubt about it. And look forward to Saturday night in a big way.
You got a winner and a score, Mike?
Well, last week I said 38-35 Michigan on the radio, right? So, and I wouldn't say I was close, but at least I got the victor right. I'm going to take Michigan in this one. I don't think they'll get up to 42 points. I think I'll take let's go 35-21. Other than the first half, maybe like midway through the third quarter, they kind of separate a little bit and we get to enjoy it. Well, maybe, you know, I don't know. I don't know. When did you guys start to enjoy the game? Cause like for us in the crowd, like you were still kind of like, you know, every time Ohio State scored, it wasn't until Hassan Haskins scored that last touchdown with about 2 minutes to go that I finally fully relaxed. I'm hoping it's coming a little bit earlier on Saturday against Iowa.
Gotcha, Michael. Hey, man, appreciate the perspective. Glad you got a chance to enjoy it. I mean, this seems like the most enjoyable season for you since I've known you. So happy that you've had that experience too, man. But we'll do it all again next week, and hopefully we're feeling just as good. So stay safe, and we'll talk to you again next week.
All right, guys. I really look forward to it. I've loved coming on every week with you guys. And yeah, I'll be talking about an 11-1 football team. And as I said, I mean, I just give major props to Jim Harbaugh. I was not a believer. I was a big-time critic. I didn't think he had it in him. I mean, he's proved me wrong, I'm not going to turn around and all of a sudden be like, oh, I'm the biggest Jim Harbaugh fan. I think that'd be disingenuous. I think it would be, but I'm grateful that he is Michigan's coach. I'm glad that he is still here, that he stuck it out beyond my criticism of him. Thank God Ward Manuel doesn't listen to Michael Spaff.
Yeah. Well, we can't, you know, maybe next week we can talk about all this coaching movement. We had to get into the game. So, Mike.
Yeah.
But that's next week. Just hold your thoughts on that until next
sounds
week.
Sounds good.
All right, Mike. Thanks, man. Appreciate you.
Thanks, guys.
All right. That was Mike Spath here on the Michigan Insider. Still on a high, as we all are. Who's not still jacked up about Michigan beating the Buckeyes? Ira, man. We are going on the road taking the show on the road this week, though, right?
We are taking the show on the road, but if you're sticking around here and you're looking for something to eat, how about the Kitchen Door? They offer delivery, the Kitchen Door by Polo Fields in Ann Arbor. Let them do the cooking for you tonight or maybe Saturday night. Treat yourself and your family to fully prepared meals to go, like gourmet fall off the bone ribs, southern fried chicken, the Kitchen Door's signature fish and chips. Individual meals for two or family, four packs, all made the Polo Fields way. The Kitchen Door is located off Z Road, and curbside pickup and delivery are now available. To place your order, go to thekitchendoorannarbor.com or call 734-998-1555 for the Kitchen Door by Polo Fields. That's thekitchendoorannarbor.com.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.